Now, we did say on previous Sundays that as we have opportunity on a Sunday, we might look at some of the parables that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. And so I've got my Bible open tonight in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel in chapter number 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7. And I'm going to maybe just stretch things a little bit tonight. I'm going to maybe cheat a little bit, for we're going to look at a parable, but also the circumstances that surrounded that parable. We're going to look at maybe just a little bit more than the parable, but we're going to think about a circumstance that happened one day when the Lord Jesus was invited to a home, and there was a woman there as well, and he spoke a parable to Simon the Pharisee in that home. So we'll think about all of those circumstances with help, God willing, tonight. So Luke chapter 7, and we'll read, please, from verse number 36. Verse number 36. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is the Lord Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. So the Pharisee wanted the Lord Jesus to come to his home for a meal. Verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what kind of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And we do look to the Lord for help as we think about these verses together. So we have a set of circumstances here. We have a story from the life of the Lord Jesus. We have the Saviour invited to the home of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. And we have in that home too a woman who comes and who washes and anoints his feet. And we'll try and think about these things tonight and think a little bit about the parable that he spoke in that home. Three things. All of my messages are the same. I only ever say three things. Well, three things. There are three people, so that suits me, because we only ever speak in three things. And we'll think about the three people that are mentioned in this story that we've got about. We want to think about, of course, the woman. And we'll think about what the woman did. It was a lovely thing the woman did, and we'll think about that. And then we want to think about Simon the Pharisee, and he didn't do very much, but maybe like a lot of religious people, he didn't do much, but he thought a bit, and we'll think about what he thought. So we want to think about the woman and what she did, and about Simon and what he thought, and we want to think too about the Lord Jesus Christ and what it was he said in that house there with the woman and the Pharisee. So I want you to notice, first of all, just how this story opens, if you've got your Bible open, verse number 36. And you'll notice that there is a man, His name is Simon, and it says there in verse 36 that he's a Pharisee, and he wants the Lord Jesus Christ to come to his house, this man, this Pharisee, by the name of Simon. Now, maybe just a word of explanation. The Pharisees were a funny group of people, and it was just a little bit strange, this story. There's something very unusual about this story, that a man like Simon, who was a Pharisee, would invite the Lord Jesus Christ into his home. You see, the Pharisees were a funny group of folk. The Pharisees were a very religious group of people. And if you were to ask a Pharisee how it is that you might get to heaven, you would get a very kind of strange answer. For the Pharisees were people that thought that the problem with the world and the problem with people lay on the outside. And they were obsessed about religion. And they were obsessed about going to the church or the synagogue. And they were obsessed about washing and keeping separate from everybody and keeping away from everything. In fact, that's what the word Pharisee means. It means the separated ones. And they tried to keep away from everything and away from everyone. They believed that the problem with people was on the outside. And that, of course, was completely wrong. And it was completely the opposite of what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. But the interesting thing is this. That whilst the Pharisees usually criticised the Lord Jesus, and whilst, in fact, the Pharisees were normally the enemies of the Lord Jesus, we see something very unusual here. In verse number 36 of Luke 7, we find that there's one Pharisee, and he's different. He's different. There's one Pharisee, and he breaks free of the crowd. He's not like the rest. He's different, and this Pharisee has something on his heart and something on his mind. He would love just to meet and to speak with the Lord Jesus. And so he breaks free of the crowd. And he turns his back on the crowd. And maybe that will bring him into criticism. Maybe coming to the Lord Jesus Christ will make him unpopular. And maybe there will be those that will criticise him. And maybe there will be those that will disown him. For he's a Pharisee. And really the Pharisees generally hate the Lord Jesus. But this Pharisee, he's willing just to break free of the crowd. Because he wants to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and speak to the Lord Jesus. And so that's the first thing I want to draw your attention to. That here was a man. And he was prepared. He was prepared to lose friends. And he was prepared to accept criticism. And he was prepared to go against the flow and to break free of the crowd just to meet the Lord Jesus. You know, we often find that, not only in the Bible, but we often find it in our own experience, that becoming a Christian and getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ comes at a price. We often say that salvation is free, and so it is. But it comes at a price. That's a strange thing to say. Well, often there's a price to pay for coming to Christ. There are people that might disown us, and folks that might criticise us, and problems that might arise. But listen, if you only hear one thing tonight, can I maybe just say this, whilst you're still listening? It is of the utmost importance, beyond all else in our life, and beyond whatever it might cost us, that we might find Christ. That we might find Christ. And in this lovely story, there are two people, and they have it as their priority, and they have it on their heart, that above and beyond everything else, they have to find Christ. And that is the great message of the story in Luke chapter 7. So we notice a Pharisee, and he makes it his purpose just to find the Lord Jesus. Did you see what he did there at the beginning of Luke chapter 7, or verse 36 there? Did you see what he did? He did a nice thing. He invited the Lord Jesus Christ into his home. That was a good thing. He wanted the Saviour to come and to share a meal at his table. And so he invites the Saviour into his home. That was good. There's a second person. She's a woman. And she's a sinner. And she's going to open up something else to the Lord Jesus. She's not going to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into her home. And she's not going to open her home to the Lord Jesus, but there's something lovely in this in Luke chapter 7. And there's a lesson in it. There was a lesson for Simon, and there's a lesson for us, and I want you to notice it. For this is really what the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for. If you're coming here tonight and you're saying, listen, what is it that God is looking for in my life? What is it that God wants from my life? What is it that the Lord Jesus Christ wants from my life? You see, there's lots of voices in this world. There's lots of religions, and people are shouting all sorts of things. Listen, there was a man here, and he was prepared to open up his home to the Lord Jesus. But I want you to see this. There was a woman, and she wanted to open up her heart
to the Lord Jesus. Did you see that? There was a man, and he opened up his home to the Lord Jesus. But there was a woman, and she opened up more than her home to Christ. She opened up her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is one thing that the Saviour wants from you, and if there's one thing that the Saviour wants from me, he wants her heart. He wants her heart. He wants the devotion of her heart. He wants the love of her heart. He wants our lives just to be handed over to him. Lives that really, they really aren't worth very much, because they're broken by sin, and they're tainted and they're coloured by sin, and they're lives that have all sorts of difficulties and problems. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll notice this, the Lord Jesus Christ valued that woman's life. She was a sinner, it says. Maybe nobody else in the town or the city valued her life, but Christ valued her life. And the Saviour not only wanted a way into the home of Simon the Pharisee, but in this lovely chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ finds a way into the heart of that woman that sits at his feet. So, as we think about Luke 7, we'll think about Simon and how he opens his home to the Lord Jesus, and we'll think about a woman and how she opens her heart to the Lord Jesus. So, if you have your Bibles open there, please, maybe we'll just look down there at what it is that happens there. And maybe we'll think, first of all, about that woman and what it was that she did. Look down there, please, would you? Verse number 37. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. That's interesting, isn't it? So I want you just to see this first of all, please. Here's a home in the city. It's owned by a Pharisee. Religious man. Minister of religion. And there's a woman. Tradition has it that she was a prostitute. I don't know about that. But she was some kind of well-known sinner. Well-known sinner. So she was doing something that she shouldn't be doing. And she hears that the Lord Jesus Christ is there in a home. The home of a Pharisee, a place she would never be. But she hears that the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And you notice the first thing, verse number 37, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she comes in. And she brings her alabaster box of ointment. You know, sometimes the most interesting things in the Bible are what it doesn't tell us. You know, I would love to know exactly what was going on in her heart. I would love to know. How did she know the Lord Jesus Christ was there? What was it that made her take an alabaster box of ointment? Later on in the Bible, we learn that these boxes of ointment, they cost a year's wages. Something maybe in the region of 10 to 20,000 pounds in our money. What was it that made that woman bring an alabaster box of ointment? And what was it that made her come to that particular home? And what was it that made her open up that alabaster box of ointment and weep at the feet of the Saviour? Now, we're not told. But something was going on in her heart. Something was going on in her life. That wasn't just somebody that had mentioned to her, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is up the road. Something more was happening than that. Something was happening in her heart and in her soul that made her take £20,000 worth of ointment and go into the home of a man that she would never ever have had anything to do with. And to take that and to cry at the feet of a man she had probably never met before, and to break down at his feet, we would call that a nervous breakdown today, wouldn't we? Somebody coming into the home and weeping on the floor and weeping over somebody's feet and taking their money and pouring it out. We would call that a nervous breakdown. And she comes into that home and she breaks down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and she pours out her oil. You see, what was going on in that woman? The only way I can explain it, you know, is that God was working in her heart. That's the only way that I can explain it. And can I say this, please, as well? If it is the case that you or I are going to be right with God, if it is the case that you or I are going to be saved and go to heaven, If we are going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, something like that is going to have to happen to you. And God is going to have to take you and break you, just like that alabaster box of ointment was broken. And you're going to have to see, like this woman, your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to be burdened, and I believe that was really what her tears were about. She was burdened by her sin. That was what the parable was about. Somebody that owed a great debt, 500 pence, and it wasn't 500 pence in her money. It was a lot of money in those days. And she was burdened about her sin. Everybody in the town knew that she was a sinner, but for many years she didn't know it. For many years she was quite brazen about it, and she ignored it, and maybe even she made money out of it, but now she was burdened by her sin. And not only did Simon know that she was a sinner, and not only did the Lord Jesus know that she was a sinner, but maybe for the first time in her life, over those past few days, she had come to the realization that she was a sinner. And God was working in her heart. And she was burdened and she was broken. And you know, when God works in a human heart, people do strange things, you know. They do strange things. Things that are out with their character. And here's this woman. And she comes into the home of Simon the leper. And there she is. She's found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if God has ever dealt with your heart. You know, I think that God deals with the heart of every single person, you know. And sometimes when he begins to deal with our heart, sometimes we harden our heart and we reject him. There was a man by the name of Bertrand Russell. Some of you will have heard of Bertrand Russell. He was one of the leading atheists of the last century. He was a man who wrote great books about why Christianity was nonsense. Here's what he wrote. He says, "The center of me is always and eternally a terrible pain, a curious wild pain, a searching for something beyond what the world contains, something transfigured and infinite." God had touched even his heart. And even that atheist knew that in his heart he needed something. He needed someone. There was something missing. Even God had touched his heart, but he had hardened his heart. And he wouldn't have anything to do with God. And he wouldn't have anything to do with his son. And he wouldn't have anything to do with the idea that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had loved him and died on the cross for his sin. He wouldn't have it. But here's a woman. She's got a lot of sin. But she's got one redeeming feature. She's got a soft heart. And as God begins to deal with her heart, she sees her sin. And she comes to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the tears pour out at the feet of the Saviour. Do you see? Did you see what she did there? Verse 38. Verse 38, if you've still got your Bibles open. And she stood at his feet, it says. Behind her. She's just taking up a low place there, isn't she? She stood at his feet. She's down there. And she began to wash his feet with tears. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. You see, there's something happening there, isn't there? There's something happening between that woman and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something personal. She didn't take a basin of water and some soap and a sponge. She's washing the Saviour with her tears. And she didn't take a towel. And she took her hair. It's very, very personal. It's just something between that woman, that broken woman at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and between him. Just something between him and her. It's something very, very personal. And I'll tell you this, not only was she burdened with her sin, but she was going the right way about getting rid of her sin. She was coming personally on a one-to-one basis with the Lord Jesus. She was coming in her brokenness and in her burdened with her burdened heart, and she was coming just before Christ, and she was pouring it out to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've got a burdened heart. You thought, well, tonight I'll go to the gospel hall with my burdened heart. Can I say this? That'll not do you any good. And I don't mean by that you'd be better going somewhere else. Some people come along to the surgery and they come with their burdened hearts to the surgery.
and I'm embarrassed, but I can't do very much about them either. But here's a woman, and she's going to take her burdened heart, and she's going to take it to the only person that can really do anything about it, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, why is he the only person that can do anything about it? Well, you look down towards the end there of that chapter, verse 48. And the Lord Jesus Christ says unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You see, the Saviour was able to do something about those sins. He was able to do something about that burden. He was able to lift that burden. That's what the Saviour does with the burden of sins. He's able to take them away. He's able to lift them. He's able to remove those sins. For it was only the Lord Jesus Christ that died for sins. It was the Saviour who died for sin at Calvary, says the Bible. He died the just, the perfect. And he died for me, the unjust. And because those sins of my life, those things I've said and done, those things that I've spoken that I should not have spoken, those hateful thoughts in my mind, those unwise words, those things I would rather just cover and never speak about again, Christ suffered on the cross for them. And as that dear lady, as she sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, I thought that was interesting, you know, how she sat there at his feet and washed his feet and dried his feet and kissed his feet. That woman, as she sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, she was sitting at the feet of the one whose feet would be taken and they would be hammered, and hammered again through the cross at Calvary. I don't know what she knew. I would be interested to know what she knew. I just wonder if she knew that. And maybe that's where the tears really came from. But those feet that she was washing and she was preparing, those would be the feet that the nails would be driven through, and that would be the feet of the Saviour who died on the cross for her sins. So we notice the woman and what she did. I notice too Simon there, verse 39, if you have your Bibles open. I notice Simon and what he thought. Remember, Simon's a religious person. He's a Pharisee and he's not doing very much. He's just watching. And he sees a woman and she's coming to the Lord Jesus, and she's coming with her devotion, with her love and with her worship. And he's going to bring something to the Lord Jesus, and maybe I can encourage you to bring these two to the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we don't have much devotion to bring to the Lord Jesus, but Simon's got something different. Simon's maybe a bit like me, you know. He doesn't bring his devotion to the Lord Jesus, he brings his doubts to the Lord Jesus. And that's a good place to bring your doubts to the Lord Jesus, you know. And then he's watching this woman, and he's watching the Lord Jesus, and in his mind he's thinking, look at what he's thinking, very interesting, verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, this is just his thinking, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Well, he's got his doubts, you know. He's got his doubts about the Lord Jesus. You know, says Simon, I've heard the Lord Jesus Christ was someone special. I heard he was a prophet. Maybe even had heard that he was the Son of God. But listen, says Simon, if he is who folks say he is, he wouldn't have liked that woman. He would have known what was in that woman's heart. Well, the Lord is just going to show Simon something very interesting. And not only does the Lord know what was in the heart of the woman, but the Lord knows what's in the heart of Simon. And that question that he never asked, the Saviour just goes and answers it. That's interesting, isn't it? I thought that was interesting. Verse 40. The Saviour's very good at that, you know. Answers questions that we never asked. I don't know that I would have liked, you know, very much just to stand in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ at times. A man that knows my every thought, and that was able to announce to an audience like that the answer to the question I was thinking about. I don't know that some of my questions and some of my thoughts I would like broadcast. But the Saviour was there, and he not only knew the thoughts of the woman, but he knew the thoughts of Simon. And as that dear lady brings her devotion to the Lord Jesus, he brings his doubts to the Lord Jesus, and from that, the Saviour speaks the parable. Here's the parable that answers Simon's question. Verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one who owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? The parable. Here's the answer to Simon's doubt.
Simon has a doubt. Here's his doubt. He wonders, really, if the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do something with someone as bad as this woman. Is it the case that the Lord Jesus Christ can really deal with someone who is as sinful as this woman? In fact, maybe he even has a wee niggling doubt. Maybe, you know, some of the sinfulness of that woman will affect the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Pharisees thought. Is it possible that the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with the 500 pence debtor? Someone who is steeped in debt and in sin, can Christ deal with them? The Saviour answers that question. And the Saviour tells Simon that he is able to deal with the big sinner. He's able to do that. He is able to forgive the 500 pence debtor. But the Saviour also answers a question that Simon didn't ask. This is interesting. Not only is the Saviour able to deal with you and me in the bigness of our sins, and sometimes we wonder, as we look back over our lives, and we see that catalogue of sin, sin after sin after sin, and we remember some big sins, and we remember some sins that were offensive, and some sins that we would rather just were not remembered, and we wonder, can God deal with those kind of sins? Can God deal with me and all my failings? And Christ in Luke 7 says, yes, he can. Christ can deal with all of our sins. But here's an answer to another question. This is the Saviour, not only am I able to deal with the 500 pence debtor, not only am I able to deal with this woman, but Simon, I'm able to deal with you too. You see, the Saviour was able to deal with the woman with the big sin. And the man with the wee sins, he needed that then dealt with as well, you know. You see, he thought he was all right. He thought he was okay. He was religious. He was a Pharisee. He knew about the Bible. He was an upright kind of chap. Says the Saviour. The same Saviour that can deal with that woman needs to deal with you. Needs to deal with you. Listen. Not only is there anyone that is too big. Not only is there not anyone who's too big a sinner for Christ. But can I say this too? There's none of us that are too small a sinner that we don't need Christ. There's none of us can go it alone. There's not one of us that are able to go before God in their own righteousness and to expect God to accept us without a Saviour. Not one of us. There's not one of us that is good enough for God. Listen to what the Bible says. For all have sinned. Simon knew that there. But he didn't think it included him. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we see there. We see, first of all, we see what the woman did. She came in her devotion. She came to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. She opened up her heart to Christ. And we see what Simon thought. And we notice what Christ said. Three simple things here from Luke chapter 7. And listen, it doesn't matter where you are tonight. Doesn't it matter whether or not you regard yourself as a religious person, an upright person, or whether you're so burdened about your sin that you really wonder if anything can be done for you. Luke 7 tells me this, there's a Saviour, and he's able to meet the need of all. He's a Saviour, and says the Bible later on, he is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto him by faith. Can I just encourage you to do what Simon did? Invite him into your home, but can I encourage you more to do what this woman did? Invite him into your heart and make him your Lord and your Saviour. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come before thee. We do give thanks for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for examples that are left there in the scripture of men and women who had dealings with Christ. We pray, our Father, tonight, above all that has been said and all that has been read, we pray that that might be left as an impression upon all of our hearts, that we must have dealings with Christ. We must have Christ. We need a Saviour. We pray, our Father, that that might be left imprinted upon all of our souls. We pray tonight, our Father, that there will be those who will be burdened about their sin and who will come to Christ and find him as Lord and Saviour. So be with us, our Father. Part us with thy blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name.